I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, welcome, and happy Sunday. We've got some fantastic questions coming up, and we've got a lovely section, I think, about the Beatles coming on later, so stay tuned for that. But first question from Steph in Milton Keynes. Thank you, Steph. Matt, do you think voter ID is here to stay, given the admission by Jacob Rees-Mogg that they were indeed gerrymandering, great word, as well as the fact it resulted in many more people being excluded from voting than were ever convicted of voter fraud? Great question.
It is a good question. Yes, I do think voter ID is here to stay because it's very hard to kind of put a modernisation process, so-called, back in the box.
Yeah.
I don't think it was necessary at all. I think the notion that it was introduced to stop electoral fraud is manifestly false because the scale of electoral fraud in this country is minute. But as Steph quite rightly mentions, Jacob Rees-Mogg, for it was he, let the cat out of the bag at the National Conservatism Conference, to which we've alluded many times on this podcast, by saying, and I'm quoting, parties that try and gerrymander, I should say it in character a bit, parties that try and gerrymander end up finding their clever scheme comes back to bite them. As dare I say, we found by insisting on voter IDs for elections, we found the people who didn't have ID were elderly, and they by and large voted Conservative. So we'd made it hard for our own voters. Now, what he's saying is that the first time it was introduced in England was the local elections in May. Now, traditionally, voter ID is used to suppress the votes of people who find it harder to get access to voter ID or don't have it, ethnic minorities, the seriously deprived. It's a way of, you know, it's a way, it's in America, very much so. And it was on that basis that it was imported here by the Tories in the hope of minimising a Labour vote. But of course, what they hadn't thought was that a lot of English elderly folk don't have ID either, of course, or didn't know that they were supposed to turn up at the polling booths. So it was a classic Tory self-stitch. So now we're stuck with it.
Yeah.
And it's now mandatory in general elections and everything.
Yeah. Here's something for you. Gerrymandering, do you know why?
I don't know the origin of it. Tell me.
So it's a portmanteau of Jerry, as in Elbridge Gerry, who was governor of Boston, Massachusetts in 1812. And he buggered around with the constituency lines to help himself. And the map of his constituency looked like a salamander, according to a political cartoon. So a political cartoon was put up in the Boston newspaper, and it was gerrymandering. We've now got gerrymandering.
That's what my sons call a fun fact.
Yeah, there we go. It's all here.
No,
it's all
the things
here,
you learn at the two mats.
Move on to the next question.
Okay, I think Northern Ireland has been a big loser from this Brexit process. If Northern England are second class, what on earth are we? Our infrastructure and health service is crumbling, and we don't even have a government. Indeed, since 2017, the Assembly, I think that's the Northern Ireland Assembly, has only been back for COVID, essentially. Where do we go from here? Andrew Larmour. Thank you very much, Andrew. Very good question. Matt, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I haven't got a clue is the answer. Where do we go from here, if that's the question? The Assembly's got to get back into some way, shape or form. And the fact that it's not... I don't live in Northern Ireland, obviously.
Yeah.
So I don't see what is being said in the media. I'm sure it's constantly on, but it's not on at all here.
You know,
it's marginal. And the idea that you've got this very important and pivotal to the whole future of the UK area and it's not really in the national conversation is symptomatic of what's wrong with the media in this country, I think.
The media, and also one of the most grievous, seriously grievous consequences of Brexit. Because the last elections that were held in the province, and I have great affection for it because I cut my teeth there. I did a lot of reporting in the early 90s before Good Friday, the Good Friday Agreement. And it was a very, very consequential election, the last one. Sinn Féin became the largest party. Michelle O'Neill would be first minister if the executive was sitting. And that's a big moment. You need the cut and thrust of democracy, you know, and an assembly. And the fact that it isn't is really bad. Hasn't been up and running since February last year, 2022, because the DUP, the Democratic Unionists, who have to be in as part of the power sharing cross-sectarian arrangement, are still unhappy about the Northern Ireland Protocol. And in spite of everyone saying that Rishi Sunak is a genius, the Windsor framework is incredible, the Northern Ireland Protocol is still a mess. My worry is, I mean, I totally agree with Andrew. I think that Northern Ireland has all the way through this been treated as a sort of lab rat. You know, it doesn't really matter. You know, it really matters. And it matters for all sorts of reasons. First of all, these are people who are still citizens of our country. So, you know, we shouldn't treat them as second-class citizens. Secondly, the peace, though remarkably resilient and durable, thank God, is still built on a series of assumptions which are always being threatened by this government and by Brexit. And one of the ironies is, again, when I started reporting, it was the Conservative and Unionist Party. Tories really did care about the union with Scotland and Wales as well as Northern Ireland, and they didn't take it lightly, the idea that there might be problems in that. Now they don't care. They really don't. The Conservative Party is the party of England. That's it. And I hope if there's a new government, Hilary Benn is Shadow Northern Ireland Secretary and is an excellent politician. And I hope that he will be able to bring some, first of all, some sense of government paying attention, Westminster paying attention, Whitehall paying attention. And secondly, you know, there is really no way of keeping the Good Friday Agreement alive if we're going to leave the European Convention on Human Rights, or even really leave the European Union. That conundrum has not been solved, because it can't be solved.
Yeah, it's impossible.
It's impossible. And so in the sort of medium term, I hope that a Labour government can bring some hope. In the longer term, obviously, like yourself, I hope we go back in.
Just a quick answer. Is a united Ireland inevitable at some point in the coming decades?
I mean, again, like never, I never use the word inevitable anymore. Mm. I mean, I would say that it's moving in that direction faster than I thought it would.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, Sinn Féin being the biggest single party in the Northern Ireland Assembly is extraordinary. Yeah. It's a remarkable moment. And I suspect that, you know, that if, as it were, the sense in Northern Ireland that basically they've been abandoned gets stronger and stronger, the gravitational pull of United Ireland will not be confined to the nationalist stroke Catholic community.
Yeah.
You know, it may actually get to the point where it makes more sense,
of course, you know,
to be part of a, you know, perhaps in a federated way or something.
I can see that.
But you remain part of the single market, and who doesn't want that? You know,
exactly.
If they can get it.
What idiot wouldn't want that?
What idiot would want the advantages of the single market, we ask?
This week's episode is sponsored by The New European, and boy, oh boy, do we have a seasonal gift for you if you subscribe.
What's that, Santa?
It is. And I shouldn't be laughing, but it's an absolutely
deadly serious.
It's a fantastically funny set of 6 Christmas cards and a 2024 wall calendar.
Also seriously funny. Yeah, I'll be bound.
But they are bloody funny.
Bloody funny.
I even wrote some of the gags myself.
Then it's a lock.
It is an absolute lock-in. And you can get those 6 cards and your fantastic wall calendar to give you laughs all the way through 2024 and to make all of your friends think you are the funniest person on the block when they get your Christmas card if you subscribe to The New European. And The New European, if you don't know, is a fantastic newspaper and website full of great serious political analysis from great writers like the very fantastic Matthew D'Ancona. Do you know him?
Seen here.
Relative?
Very cousin, I think.
Patience Wheatcroft, Bonnie Greer,
James Ball,
Tannicock, Jonty Bloom,
Will Self,
absolute stellar stuff.
And
Alistair Campbell's Diary is an absolute.
It's a must.
It's an absolute must read, and it's also got loads of fantastic cultural commentary and features stuff, left field stuff you won't read anywhere else. But if you love Europe and you want to get a sense of why Europe is a fantastic continent and a great place we all love, then The New European was literally made for you. So subscribe and join our fight against right-wing nationalistic media and do something positive about the state of the press in the UK.
Yes, sir.
You can get everything we do online for just £1 a week. Or if you like the actual newspaper delivered to your door every single week, then you can have that for another £1. And that's a 75% saving on what you'd pay at the newsagent. Just go to www.theneweuropean.co.uk/2mats. That's www.theneweuropean.co.uk/2mats, number 2, M-A-T-T-S. Do it now and you'll get your Christmas cards and calendar in plenty of time for the festive season, and you'll be supporting great independent journalism. Thank you.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Right, next question. As journalists, have either of you felt so strongly about a story that you fed it to private eye? And would you ever?
From Nigel Ingledew. Thank you, Nigel.
Thank you, Nigel.
Well, have you? Come on, Matt.
I haven't ever. I've never fed I've been in private eye a couple of times and hated it at first and then grew to love it and saw it was a mark of somebody giving a damn about what we were doing.
Yes.
But no, I've never fed a story to private eye.
Neither have I. But to your point, I remember the first time I was in Sood's Corner.
Yeah.
And it was early days. So there was at the Times, and I can't remember what it was, but I richly deserved it.
Yeah.
And I was very nervous. You know, God, what are they going to say? But it was a bit like that scene in Goodfellas where Henry is pinched for the first time by the cops and doesn't squeal on his mates.
Yeah.
And then when he comes out of the courtroom, there are, you know, all the good fellas are waiting for him. Yeah. Hey, you broke your cherry, you know. And that was what it was like when I go, hey, you broke your cherry, you're in Sood's Corner. Yeah. You know, it was a total badge of honour.
Yeah.
And I've been in a few times. My first thriller was panned so aggressively by Proto, I had a whole page sit back in 2003 or something
Fantastic.
Like that. But there is a kind of strange relationship, isn't there, between our trade and being mentioned in the...
Yeah.
Because obviously the things that get you mentioned in Pro Attire are not good.
No.
But you do feel seen, don't you?
It's I can't remember exactly what it was. It was a remark I made to somebody about Alan Rusbridger, who's a friend of mine now, but it was an unkind remark at the time about Piers Morgan and Alan Rusbridger, and it made Private Eye. And I was the hero of the story. It was honestly, I felt, felt fantastic. And but no, people have fed stories about me to Private Eye. I know, not very interesting ones, but no, I've never fed one myself. Maybe I should. I'll feed it to the New European Mandrake column, which is far more interesting than Street of Shame these
days. You know what's interesting, which just as a sort of coda to that, is that one thing that's kind of disappeared from our trade is there used to be so many media diaries, didn't there?
Yeah,
do you remember?
Yeah, Dog Eats Dog
and The Independent had a good one. And
Media Guardian.
Guardian was a whole section. You know,
they missed a trick there. They should have charged for Media Guardian as a
premium thing would have done it.
Yeah.
And apart from Private Eye and very occasionally Pop Bitch, there aren't really any places where this sort of gossip appears.
Yeah. Also, I'd have to say that it's no fault of Private Eyes, but it's much more boring than it used to be because not much happens these days. And occasionally you get these sort of internecine scandals in Fleet Street, but not that much anymore.
It's much more now sort of more boring inconsistency stories. You know, he said this then, and now he's saying it now. But I mean, back in the day, you know, Lunchtime Obooze was my favourite character. And remember Ugandan Discussions?
Ugandan Discussions. And Andrew Neil with that scantily clad lady.
Who wasn't Pamela Bordes.
No.
This, for people under the age of 45, the picture of Andrew Neil, a great editor of the Sunday Times and now publisher of The Spectator and broadcaster and so on. But he'd also been heavily involved in Sky, setting up Sky, and had a much publicised affair with a woman called Pamela Bordes. And there was a picture of him that they published all the time, of him in a vest with a woman with his arm around a woman who wasn't Pamela Bordes.
Right. You've cleared that up for me.
She was someone who worked at Sky, but they just published it again and again and again. Poor old Andrew.
Next question.
So this question is very timely. Loving the podcast. I know Matt Kay is a Merseyman and Matt D loves his music too. So I'd love to know what you think of the last Beatles single. That's Now and Then. Also, which of the Beatles would you like to be? Jim Herne-Hill. Thanks very much, Jim. Matt, what do you think?
Great. Well, I mean, we should reveal, we've just listened to it in the studio. And I found it very moving.
I found it very moving too.
And there's a bit of a lump in my throat. Because I find anything to do with Lennon moving, to be honest. Yes. I'm very much a Lennon, if you have to pick your Beatle, I'm a Lennon man. And what I was thinking of, obviously the circumstances of this song is it's a... an audio recording he was kind of noodling on in the
cassette,
Dakota building.
It?
Yeah, well, just in his kind
Marked
of fallow
for Paul,
period.
For Paul.
Right. And anything to think about him in New York in the Dakota building makes you think about how his life ended as well, you know. And there's a real, you know, there are lines in that song there which... Now and then I think of you, you know. And I now and then I think of Lennon all the time, you know.
Yes.
And I just think he's one of those extraordinary people that he was 40 years old when he was
nothing,
murdered,
it?
You know. And you think about the body of work which continues. And I've always thought that one of the most poignant things about, I mean, the extraordinary coincidence of how these two geniuses, not to diminish George or even Ringo to that degree, but how John and Paul kind of lived across a park from each other, and I've walked that across that park.
It's a supernatural chance, isn't it?
The pathway that they would have run over as kids to start their journey, and how he ended his life. And do you know what his last words were? So he was shot, obviously, by this idiot Chapman, and was bundled into two cops arrived first on the scene. New York cops arrived on the scene. They bundled him into the back of the car to take him to the hospital, and they didn't know who he was at first. And then one of the cops in the passenger seat in the front turns around and looks and sees this profile lit by the kind of sodium streetlights as they're tearing towards the hospital, and recognises the face and says, "Are you John Lennon?" And John Lennon said, "Yeah," and then he died. Oh, and I thought, imagine that trip.
Yes.
To the where you're that famous that in the half light of the back of a New York police car, tearing down that avenue to get to Cedars-Sinai Hospital, and the policeman recognises you and says, "Are you John Lennon?" It's extraordinary.
The journey.
It's extraordinary.
It's amazing. I mean, I think you've answered who you'd like to be, Lennon, and I suppose that makes
well,
me...
Well, no, I'd like to be Ringo because he's still alive.
He's still alive. Well, yeah, exactly. Well, so's McCartney. I mean, I suppose I'd have to be McCartney. I mean, although Lennon... I think Lennon was the greater genius, but I have a huge sentimental fondness for Paul. I think there's greatness there too.
Oh, and, without a doubt. Yeah.
And he is sort of woven himself very successfully and joyously into the life of the nation since the loss of Lennon. It's funny, you know, about the durability of the Fabs, and I just, while we were listening, I was just checking. Their first single... this being their last now and then, their first single came out on the 5th of October, 1962. So if this is in, I mean, I'm sure there'll be more material, there always is. Yeah. But if this is officially their last single, they've had a 61-year career.
Amazing.
And this is said so often of artists and pop musicians, they've changed the world, but they really did change the world. I mean, there's before the Beatles, you know, it's... Philip Larkin famously said, you know, there is pre and post the Beatles, and if we're now entering post, that's a very, you know, I find that very emotional because you know, they as much as I've loved the Sex Pistols, Joy Division, the Smiths, any number of acts over the years, this was the soundtrack to my life. The first album I got was Live at the Hollywood Bowl, and you know, it's the music that I've noticed that I revert to. You know, there's a kind of bond there where if I need something, there's almost nothing in that you need emotionally that isn't in the Beatles.
You can find it somewhere. And you can't say that about many things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about the Rolling Stones a few weeks ago on the pod, and I love the Rolling Stones, but you know, the Rolling Stones are a blues band that became the biggest rock and roll band in the world, and they're still going, and it's amazing. Yeah. But you can't rummage around in the Stones back catalogue and find everything.
No.
But the Beatles, you can.
Yeah.
You know, there are nights when Norwegian Wood is the song.
Absolutely right.
And there are nights when Yellow Submarine is the spot. But there's something rather magical about it, I think.
The reason I love John over Paul is his absolute biting wit.
Oh,
you know, I mean, and obviously much has been written about the nasty side of John, which you know, you can't sweep under the carpet. I don't suppose he'd particularly want you to, but I love, for instance, the line when I think he was being interviewed on CBS in the States by one of these nice, cheerful kind of talk show hosts, and he said, "So John, you know, you were famously rejected by Decca, you know, who were offered to you, And I bet that guy who rejected the Beatles, I bet he's kicking himself now." And Lennon said, "I hope he kicks himself to death." And I just, there's just something, well, there's something very Liverpool about it, which I love.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not being too kind of parochial when I say that. But I think if you come from Liverpool, it's baked into you. And I think... God bless him, you know, I hope...
But they never stop. I mean, to this day, they're still a Liverpool band. I mean, that's what's so interesting. We were talking before recording about the video of Free as a Bird.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the video for this, which I know has been made by Peter Jackson of Lord of the Rings fame,
amazing,
so it'll be interesting. But Liverpool is everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's not like they... I mean, they did. They travelled the world. They lived all over the world. But right up to the end... they're a Liverpool band, and again, that is very unusual in a band of their stature. And there is no other band of their stature.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting thing, that kind of that loyalty to where they came from.
So obviously, a big thumbs up from us from the so-called last Beatles song. Let's hope there's more. But anyway, that's the last from us, as it happens. Thank you so much for all your questions. Please send in any questions and feedback to the two Matts at tnepublishing.com. We love getting your emails and your thoughts. We really do. So please send them in. And please subscribe to the podcast as well.
Absolutely.
We see ourselves creeping upwards in the charts, and it's most gratifying. So please spread the word and subscribe. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening.
See you next Friday for another one of our main podcasts, and have a great week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.